Broncos country. Let's ride.
Breaking news.
Michael Brunks.
This is the second time that breaking news has happened right when I come on the show. That's a good life lesson to be learned in all this. If you're going to give somebody over $100 million, make sure they're not weird.
Michael Brunts, Husker 24/7.
Oh, man. A week ago, Michael Brunts was just a few hours away from, well, he was already living a really, really bad day as a Denver Broncos fan. But he didn't, the worst of it hadn't arrived yet, as Michael Brunts joins us now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. Hello, Michael.
How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, you've now had time to reflect a week off of the Broncos' no good, very bad day. So have you convinced yourself on Bo Nix yet?
I am going to let things play out. I'm not as just down on the pick as I've maybe been on past lousy Denver quarterback draft picks. So I will just watch. I'm not gonna get all hot takey on Bo Nix. It feels like there's a potential for high ceiling, also very high potential, spectacular flame out.
Yes.
So that's where we are.
Yeah, that's classic Bo Nix. Incredibly low floor, incredibly high ceiling. So
yes.
Enjoy the roller coaster ride. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, I hope and pray that somehow just a medium floor can be reached. Like you can get to like a medium level of quarterback play. I don't think it's going to happen. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, you sounded more optimistic than I honestly thought you were going to be. So that's that's good. Congratulations.
All I have is my optimism, Connor. That's all I've got anymore.
Hey, the A's aren't a flaming dumpster fire.
No. They are they're a better team than the San Francisco Giants at a much better price. So there's that. And I haven't checked the standings in the last couple of days, but we're ahead of the Houston Astros, which felt like that feels like the water will probably find its level there, but I'm enjoying it so far.
That's a huge win. No, that's a huge win. Brunts, so did you have no hitter on your bingo card last night, or how'd you turn out last night?
That was a heck of a thing, wasn't it?
One of the most incredibly pleasantly surprising things I've ever seen. Like, I mean, no chance in hell I thought that was even remotely in the cards last night.
I say this as somewhat of a flex, but not really. I was at Dallas Braden's perfect game.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which I would say is more improbable. I would probably say what happened last night I would consider more improbable than something that's happened fewer than 50 times in the history of baseball. So that credit to Jackson Brock, by the way. Like I say that as a joke, but I mean in all seriousness, I mean he's been through it the last 6 weeks or so. And that wasn't a half-assed perfect.
No, he was dominant.
No hitter. That was legit. Like he just shoved for 9 innings.
12 strikeouts, man. Like he was incredible.
12 strikeouts, 10 ground ball outs. Like there was very little drama when you actually look back at how those outs were recorded last night.
Realistically, what were they planning on wanting to get from him last night? Like, is it considering the pitching situation and how they're set up for the weekend, like, is it a 9 outs thing? Is it a 12 outs thing? Like, that would have been probably at the high end of our best case scenario going into last night. Can I get to the fifth with Jackson Brockett still hanging in there?
Oh, they would have taken fifth inning, no questions asked. As an example, I mean, he hadn't thrown more than 40 pitches in a game this year. He pitched 3 times since the end of February. Didn't even travel on the Rutgers trip. And, you know, I don't even know. I didn't ask. I would be curious to know how far he was actually stretched out. Because, I mean,
right.
when you don't throw that much, I mean, you throw 107 pitches. And the velocity was still there in the ninth inning. He struck out the last guy in a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. So, you know, they were probably hoping for three or four. I mean, I was thinking back on it, and they kind of scrambled the bullpen down there between innings going into the fourth just in case, and then kind of did the Gary Busey one more inning act.
Yeah, but they did it six more times, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, the only real trouble that he ever got into was in the fifth, and he gets a double play and gets out of it. And then beyond that, I want to say that there was only like one at bat the rest of the way where Kansas State really got solid contact. So it was he was dealing.
Usually, when guys throw no hitters, especially against pretty good teams, there it's like, oh, okay, like Paul Skeens, you know, like that makes sense. He's like the best player in baseball. It's going to be a long time before we can make any sense of this one. There needs to be like, you need to write something very long form on the occurrence that happened last night.
Yeah. No, I mean, it probably deserves it. I mean, I think, it was pretty unbelievable. Brockett was still, I think, kind of in shock after the game with what had happened, obviously. I'll say this. I mean, just beyond the history of the whole thing, I mean, that was a game that felt like Nebraska kind of needed something there, right?
Oh, no, that's where I want to go next. It completely changes their outlook. I mean, just from a positivity standpoint, you absolutely needed it coming off the disappointment of Tuesday, and it's a good RPI win, and like it almost feels like everything that was sort of fading away and was getting closer and closer to the edge of that like table, the proverbial table, is now like back on the middle of the table.
Yeah, they're up at 20 in the RPI, so they're actually split the midweek and ended up going up five spots. And it's you know, I guess we'll probably have the hosting conversation and play that out over the last 3 weeks, but I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, only Indiana's a top 100 RPI team the rest of the way. You're probably going to have to win like 8 or 9 of these last 10 to even kind of keep that conversation alive. But I don't, maybe that sparks you and you get something from that. But, this was a team that I think just kind of with the way that things have gone on Tuesdays and Wednesdays really needed something good to happen. So, I mean, why not? A no-hitter. There you go.
I tell you what, man, like, you know, they end up at 40-plus wins and a top 20, top 25-ish kind of RPI. I was talking about this earlier. Like, when you go down the list of schools that have the possibility to host, there's a giant circle in the southeast part of the country. There's a couple dots out west. You know, Nebraska could, along with Indiana State, I think could be those kind of token is like too strong of a word, but like they could be the Midwest hosts this year. Like, I think they'll get a bump from that because I think the committee kind of wants to see that. So that's something they have on their side. They still need to take care of business, but it is, I do think they're like right back in that kind of conversation again, which is insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that just goes to show you. I mean, if you schedule somewhat challenging games early in the season and you happen to win in the majority of those games and get off to a good start, it buys you some time late in the season in case you have one of those like 1 or 2 week dips, which every baseball team in America probably has one of those. I mean, it's whether or not you can keep it to like a week versus like a month. That's the challenge for a lot of programs. And you know, Nebraska had a really good February and early March, and you know, that's how you kind of just keep hanging around in the 20s RPI wise. So, I mean, it's the opportunity's still there, but like you said, I mean, it's they got to go out and win some series that they, you know, probably on paper should be able to win on the weekend.
Yeah, and the other thing that happened out of last night is the midweek. Like, the midweek struggles conversation is just completely irrelevant now. It's just a moot point. They only have one midweek game left, and you left on kind of a high note in that category, and you beat a good team at home. So that whole narrative with this team is just now completely Like it's just gone. It doesn't matter anymore.
You gotta just George Costanza and walk out of the room now.
I'm done.
That's basically where they're at. Yeah,
I'm out. That's pretty much it. Let's do go back a little bit to Tuesday night though. I left the ballpark feeling incredibly confused and probably a little bit disappointed for both teams that you know, Creighton swept the series and they can't get anything done on the weekend, and Nebraska just can't figure it out against Creighton. Like, what was the overwhelming feeling after Tuesday night for Nebraska, obviously knowing that now it's very, very different?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, kind of more of the same, I guess, in that series where it feels like if anything can go wrong for Nebraska against Creighton, it's going to happen. And, you know, it's you get the early lead, you drop a ball in the sun, you misplay another ball, and then you're kind of off and going. And, I mean, I think, you know, last night aside, I mean, I still think that, you know, Nebraska's probably starved for options, consistent options to start those midweeks. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. They've struggled to get out of the gates in those games, and I don't know what it is. You know, there's probably something that, you know, needs to be looked at in the offseason about maybe the way they approach some of those games. I mean, I you know, maybe it's just one of those situations where Creighton just kind of has Nebraska's number. And also, you know, I think Creighton's a good baseball team that has also been underperforming on weekends.
Yes.
So it's, I don't think that's just one thing. But yeah, I mean, I think the initial feeling from that game was just, it had to be disappointing for Nebraska, where you felt like you were playing okay baseball. You win a series against Iowa at home. You're trying to get momentum, and you know, you by your own fault, just get bludgeoned in another rivalry game. So, and especially, I mean, where you give up six in the first inning and play pretty good baseball behind that. So, I don't know what the easy answer is there, but certainly, you know, somebody emerging, Caleb Clark, Jackson Brockett, whomever, to pitch in those midweek games would be a help going forward.
Yeah, the best part is you don't have to really worry about it anymore. You got everything going forward.
You got one you got to worry about.
You got one more against South Dakota State in the midweek. I would imagine that Jackson Brockett would probably get that start a week from last night, right?
He's done some things to be getting that conversation, I think.
Yeah, put him in the mix. Put him in the mix with a couple other guys. See what happens. I don't know. We'll see. So, yeah, one more midweek against South Dakota State. Minnesota, Indiana, and Michigan State are the three conference series left. Okay, Bruns. Oh, yeah, by the way, we have to ask you, since we asked Jacob about the no-hitter, we have to ask you about your thoughts on Ryan Kalkbrenner's return.
That's big, right?
It's big in many ways.
That seems like an important thing.
It is.
Good for Creighton for getting that done. He's a very imposing defender.
Great
to have on offense. I think if you're a Creighton fan, you probably have to be feeling pretty good about that news.
That's, I think you knocked it out. Away. You knocked it out of the park, Bruns.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Enjoy the weekend.
We'll see you,
Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. Look at our. Guests with range.
Breadth of knowledge.
You could ask them about anything and they could talk about it intelligently. Unlike us. Even the stuff we know we can't talk about intelligently.
Many are saying.
Coming up next, the battle for Barkley. Mm. NBA TV rights and so much more that's wrapped into there. Who gets the best show on TV? Coming up on 1620 The Zone.
I'm a fabulous driver.
The Connor Happer Show.
I'm one of the best friends you could ever have in your life.
On 1620, The Zone.
I hate you.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.